It's now time for Ken Colburn with Data Doctors, sponsored by Carbonite, the better backup plan, automatic cloud backup for your files, photos, and more.
Good morning, Mr. Colburn. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy house hunting Saturday morning to join us on air.
My pleasure as always.
So we're talking today about IoT.
Yeah, let's start with a little geek speak, shall we? Actually, it's a term that I think people are going to start hearing more and more about. What it stands for, the Internet of Things.
And I thought you were being silly when you emailed that, because Rosie always says the internet machine, and I thought you were just teasing him back, but that's really something, Internet of Things.
Yeah, it's just like an umbrella term for things. It covers everything from like a Fitbit. It's basically these everyday things in our lives that suddenly are connected to the internet. So, you know, a Fitbit's a bracelet that can talk to your phone and connect and track your health. A Nest thermostat will connect to the internet so that you can remotely control it. It can learn. You know, there's all of these things that you wouldn't think. I mean, doorbells that are connected to the internet. It's like, why? And things like doorbells and thermostats give you the ability to control your home from anywhere in the world, right from your smartphone. I've been telling people for years, your smartphone is going to become your life's remote control. And with these Internet of Things devices, you know, webcams, there's just this whole host of things that are going on, including the connected kitchen, right? You want to control your pool pump from afar, your sprinkler system, or have your sprinkler system report to your smartphone and let you know, hey, you know, it needs water, and you know, because they have sensors. And I mean, there's just no end to what can happen with these IoT devices.
What's that going to cost me?
Well, so let's start with like thermostats. That's probably one of the first places people go where they're kind of dipping their toe, you know, in their home. Honeywell has a connected thermostat for as little as $100. Kind of the king of that class is the Nest thermostat. It's a beautiful piece of electronics. Looks like a traditional round thermostat, but it's got a bunch of great sensors in it. And it basically, you just set the temperature however you want throughout the day, and it kind of learns over time. This is, you like your temperature set at certain points. So you don't have to actually program it or do anything. Just do what you would normally do with an old school thermostat, and it'll figure out. Now, if you're nerdy and want to get in there and really kind of play around, you can actually set it up to specifically run at certain temperatures, certain times of the day. And then you also have a away mode. There's a motion sensor on it. So if it doesn't sense any motion for, say, 2 hours, it just automatically goes into that away mode setting, which then puts the temperature at a cost savings. And then at the end of every month, it tells you how much energy you either used or saved.
And you said that's kind of top of the line. What do they get for something like that?
Those are in the $250 to almost $300 in that range. And it's part of the – so Nest was acquired by Google. So this is another kind of transitioning to another discussion. I think more and more people, we're seeing more and more of our customers having an interest in this stuff. And unfortunately right now there is no unified platform. You know how Wi-Fi is Wi-Fi is Wi-Fi. It doesn't matter whose company – what brand router, whatever, the Wi-Fi standard is set. The interoperability, the ability for things to talk to each other in the home, there is no set platform. Apple's trying to establish one. Google acquired Nest, and they're trying to establish one. So it's kind of the wild, wild west right now with these devices. So you could end up with, you know, four, five, six different apps on your phone, one for your lighting, one for your thermostat, one for your doorbell, one for your cameras. So it's not a big deal, but there is that issue of you can have certain things happen. For instance, you can, when all these devices talk to each other, somebody rings the doorbell, you can have it automatically turn lights on in the house as if somebody's there. And then you can remotely answer it with your, like, say you're not home, you can answer the doorbell as if you're home and say, who is it? Make it very clear to a burglar, okay, there's probably somebody here. I think I'll take off.
And those doorbells have cameras on them. You can actually see who is ringing the doorbell.
So absolutely, and yeah. A lot of them will allow you to record as well. So this ability to control your home, just virtually everything in your home remotely, It's kind of here. One of the landscaping devices that I'm really anxious to test out, this is a fairly new product, but basically you put sensors in the yard, especially in troubled areas, that will talk back to your automated sprinkler and drip line system. And so it kind of, instead of just having a random schedule and, you know, water because that's what we have our schedule for, and then you hit and miss and you try to guess, this thing basically knows what kind of plant is in that, what, how much water it needs, and it only waters when it needs it as opposed to on a schedule.
And one of the
reasons... A lot of these things will end up saving you money in the long run because, you know, it's a better usage of water, it's a better usage of electricity and what have you. So there's a lot of benefits to these things. I think it's something that more and more people are definitely going to start to be curious about. So that's really why we wanted to talk about it this week.
And it's interesting because what you were talking about on the platform wars, what keeps me from doing a lot of this, but then when there is a platform... it will probably keep me from going there because that, I feel like I'm giving too much control to one entity. I mean, what kind of security? How much security now that I've got it all on the Internet of Things? Can I rely on it?
Well, there's two issues here. One is if you make a bad decision on a platform and that company goes out of business or they shut down. And we've seen it happen with a couple of, like, webcams and things like that where – you know, they send a notice saying, "Hey, we're basically shutting everything down, so your cameras are going to be useless in, you know, 2 months." We've seen that in a couple of cases. Those tend to be smaller, obscure companies that are just trying to make their way into this. So, making a good decision about a platform and spreading it across multiple platforms kind of hedges your bets against pretty much everything kind of going down the toilet, if you will. The security side of this thing is really more of a making sure you have read the instructions or had somebody you trust set up all the security protocols around all of these devices. A lot of times people, and it's not just with the Internet of Things, it's your laptops, it's your smartphones, it's your routers, it's everything. You're just overjoyed that it works, so you just stop. You put the instruction manual down, you skip over the, okay, now here's how to secure this device to keep other people from accessing it. I mean, the rule of thumb is if you can access it from outside of your home, so can a hacker. So what are you doing to make sure that's not going to be an issue in your case? And so making sure you do address the security issues, it's not a huge problem, but it's not something you want to overlook either.
You lost me at read the instructions.
Martin's called in with a question for you, Ken. Let's bring him on the line and see how we can help get Martin's question answered. Do we have Martin with us on the line?
Have you got anything for knowing when your water meter's moving? Drives me crazy when I find out I've had a bad valve go down 3 days before.
You're talking about basically on your water line itself?
Yeah, the meter where it goes, you know, to the city.
Yeah, there are initiatives in various parts of the country. I don't think there's much of it here, but there's initiatives where homeowners can actually have an app to monitor the meter in that sense. The way that you can maybe have a workaround on that is if there are certain things that you know that potentially could cause this water, let's say it's a something to do with your pool or something of that nature, or something in a basement, you can put these very inexpensive wireless sensors that basically let you know when the moisture level changes, humidity, moisture, motion. There's so inexpensive you could put one in your refrigerator door and you'll know every time somebody's raiding the fridge. So sensors that tell you something's going on might be a way to get around not having direct access to the meter, because I'm not aware of anything that you can do that's universal. It's going to be municipality by municipality. So you might want to check with your water provider to see if they either have something coming or if there's some option that they have for that.
Yeah, and you can actually check with a Rosie Certified Plumber. They actually make a flood preventative valve that mounts right at the manifold going into the house.
Even if we're not saying it today, at some point soon, Martin, I would imagine we'd be saying, yeah, there's an app for that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there are flood prevention valves that will read what you're consuming regularly. And at the point, you know, a leak for 3 days can go through 10, 15,000 gallons of water, depending on what valve it was on. Jennifer and I just recently had a leak that was undetectable back behind the oleanders in the wash. We went through 80,000 gallons of water, and I wish I'd had that little detector on. Ooh. They do make it. You can call Ben Franklin Plumbing or any of the Rosie Certified Plumbers, and get that valve installed.
Mr. Ken Colburn, we appreciate your time, sir.
Thanks very much.
I hope.
That's Ken Colburn with Data Doctors, sponsored by Carbonite, the better backup plan.
That'll be a fun feature. We'll continue to have Ken on. It's always fun to have him back on the air. We've got next on the line, I believe, is Nancy. Speaking of water and water lines,
okay.
That's exactly what her question is. Good morning, Nancy, and welcome to the program.
Good morning. I have air in my water line, but it's only in the house. I have a soft water unit, which we've back flushed a couple times, and can't seem to get the pressure off the hot water line.
Have you run a pressure test on the house?
Yes, we have.
What kind of pressure are you getting at the manifold of the house?
You know, I didn't ask my son that, but he did go buy a gauge and put it on there. And we've cut the water to the sprinkler so we know that it's not in the yard that I have air leak coming in.
Yeah.
But he also put a rod in the hot water heater.
Okay.
And I had the city come out, and they don't have a leak from the house to the meter.
Okay. Well, I would want to know what the pressure reading was that your son took. How long has this been going on? It's not unusual to get air into a system every once in a while, and it may take a day or two to flush it all out.
Probably a month.
Especially if you work on the hot water heater, you can develop air bubbles in that. We want that pressure to be something in the neighborhood of about 60 PSI and no higher than that. And if we can ensure we're under 60 PSI, the water, like, is it just if you fill up a glass of water and set it on the counter, you're going to see some carbonation, aeration bubbles in it? Or is it actually just spitting as you're running the water
It's just like you put a kink in the hose and it just kind of goes put, you know, when it comes through the house, especially the shower. It sounds just like the shower pipes are just going to break, like somebody's hanging on the wall.
When he replaced that anode rod, did he turn the hot water heater off, the water line off?
You know, I don't know.
I'm guessing that he probably did, and that it is not completely reopened. If that's an old-style gate valve that you turn, chances are it has not completely reopened. It's frozen in place. It felt like it had reached all the way open, but it's not. It's locked in place with a calcium or mineral buildup. That's the first thing I would check. Make sure the valve on the hot water heater is completely 100% open. Nancy, we appreciate the call.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you as we broadcast live at Scottsdale's Westworld for that Get Outdoors Expo. We have JC who's here.
Opening
He's gonna
up in
join
about 15
us
minutes.
Next hour, talking plumbing, fixtures, faucets. He's with Farnsworth Wholesale Supplies. So we've got anything you want to know about your kitchen sink, faucet, you'll probably hear more than you knew was possible. We'll have a little fun with the pricing difference from the cheapest to the most expensive.